Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
There's a list a mile long of all my sins, of everything that I've done wrong. I'm so ashamed. There's nowhere left for me to hide. This is the day I must stand to form my life. My fate was in the judge's hands, but then he turned to me and says, I know you, I love you, I gave my life to save you. Take the place for all my sins. I stand in awe. And now that I have been set free, and the tears well as I look at that, could have, should have been me. My fate was in the nail scarred hands. He stretched them. Thank you.
And those were the beautiful words and the beautiful notes and the beautiful voice of our CEO, Kayla Padgett, CEO of Finding My Way Radio Network. And I am so glad to be with you this day. Today, our radio studio here looking over the Tennessee River is just filled with the light and the love that comes from that song, because in that song we learn that God knows us, God loves us, and that God paid the price for us. We're going to have an interesting conversation today, and I hope you will enjoy it. We have a very, very special guest. Our guest is Isha Eccles, and our topic of today is Messages of Faith and Freedom, A Giro's Footsteps Through History. And Isha Eccles is a friend of mine of many, many years, but more than that, she is truly an amazing individual who has helped many, many people understand their place today by looking at themselves through the lens of history and genealogy. Isha, are you on? Hello, Isha, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Thank you. I was just commenting on the fact that you help people see themselves in the eyes of history. You're a giro, and if I understand that correctly, that's a storyteller in the West African tradition of storytelling. Is that correct?
Very much so. However, much, much more than just a teller of tales, but a historian. The griot for generations, I mean from the beginning of time, chronicled the history of the community before birth certificates and documents. They shared the story of the family lineage over time and all eternity, and Brother Alex Haley was blessed to really have that griot chronicle the capture of his great, 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 great grandfather, Kunta Kinte.
Wow, and it was through that chronicling of that oral history that he was actually able to get in touch with himself and learn who he was with respect to his ancestry.
The village of Jupere, yes. The griot was still alive. I believe he was in his late 90s, actually, but he talked for more than 11 hours before he got around to Kunta.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I did not know that. Wow.
Yes,
so that is a tremendous, tremendous role that the storyteller has in the history of many, many people. We have oral histories in all native cultures, I think. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. Well, I'm really looking forward to talking to you today, because we're going to talk, first of all, we're right in the middle of a very, very tense time in the history of the United States. We're facing two viruses, in my opinion. We're facing the virus of racism and the COVID virus, and the two of them are affecting our nation and tearing us apart. And before we even begin in our conversation, I hope you don't mind, since we are on a Christian radio network and we do believe in prayer, I'm going to start with just a brief prayer that we may have all the meditations of our heart and the words that we say today be endorsed and blessed by the Almighty. Is that okay?
Hallelujah.
All right, I'll say it. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this amazing day that Thou hast made. We thank Thee for this beautiful radio network that reaches across the span of this planet with all of its different networks reaching so many different countries and so many different people. We ask Thee that Thy Spirit will be with us today, that we may speak mightily of the power of love and mightily about the power of history and understanding ourselves and facing ourselves and knowing what it is that we must do so that we may return to Thee pure and unscathed from the sins of this earth. We thank Thee for the sacrifice of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank thee for the blessing of having friends and family and all of those whom we have near to us that can keep us always grounded in love and in harmony and in faith to one another. And these things we say in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Isha, we're talking to you very close to June 19th. And the subject, one of the subjects, because I think we're really going to be talking about slavery, emancipation of the slaves, and also freedom from the slavery of the mind, I think is one of the topics that I want to touch on today. And I'm thinking that as we talk about these subjects, we need to address what's going on right now today in the United States. And I wanted your opinion about this. I think that a lot of us, no matter what race we are, have been given a skewed vision of ourselves by the history that we've been taught. And I think that one of the great revelations of this time is that we are learning that not everything that we've been told is always true in the history books. And I think that you, as a storyteller, can help people find themselves by getting the facts straight. Now, we all know, and Abraham Lincoln is one of my favorite presidents. I'm a great fan. I have all the Carl Sandburg books. I've gone to Carl Sandburg's home in Connemara, and I love everything about Lincoln, but that doesn't mean that Lincoln wasn't human, that Lincoln didn't have flaws, and that some of the developments that we consider in what we call white history aren't necessarily the same history that black historians have been able to document. And this discrepancy in history has caused a disconnect, I believe, a disconnect in understanding one another. And my hope is that today you and I can bring a little peace and establish a link in that disconnect. Because what we're going to learn today is that Abraham Lincoln did issue the preliminary Emancipation Proclamation, which was eventually declared in January 1, 1863, that all the slaves that were currently engaged in rebellion against the Union shall thenceforward forever be free. And what that really meant was that all of those who were engaged in the Civil War and all those states that had broken off from the Union, those slaves were then declared free. It doesn't necessarily mean that those who were in the Union were declared, all of the slaves in the Union were declared free. That didn't come out until eventually with the 13th Amendment. But it was the beginning. It was a great beginning. The impact of the Emancipation Proclamation and its symbolic power, of course, was enormous. It announced freedom for enslaved people. It said that that was one of the war claims. Prior to that, really, the Civil War wasn't based on the freedom of the slaves, but this added that component that freedom of slavery was going to be a big issue. And nations like Britain and France, who had originally considered supporting the Confederacy, backed off because they were abolitionists. They had a steadfast opposition to slavery. So it was an important time to also acquire allies. At that time, black Americans were permitted to serve in the Union Army for the first time. And at that point, nearly 200,000 would do so by the end of the war. And eventually, the Emancipation Proclamation paved its way for the permanent abolition of slavery within the United States. And that, we know, in January of 1865, both houses of Congress passed the 13th Amendment, and it was ratified in that December. But what we don't know, and what I'm hoping that you can clarify a little bit, Isha, is the history of when that information of the freedom of the slaves finally came to the knowledge of all those black slaves that were in the nation. Because I understand that even though it was declared in September, it wasn't until years later that everyone found out that they were free. Is that correct?
Yes, that's very correct. But I want to interject that the fact that even after General Gerald Granger, I believe his name was, last name Granger. They went from the north all through the south to plantations that they could access. But it is chronicled in the slave narratives that were documented by the Library of Congress in the 1930s that some people never knew that they were free because they were isolated in areas that the Grangers and his men did not make it to. So there were captives, oh my gosh, more than 30 and 40 years. And when they found out they were emancipated, it was long after Granger had passed, and many of those colored Yankee soldiers who walked at peril's risk to try to reach them. You see, you're dealing with economics, and it was about the dollar, and those plantations could not flourish or produce if it were not for free labor. And the United States government, the people in the House of Representatives, the Senate, were in the majority. They were the Democratic Party. And they kind of looked the other way because they knew. Juneteenth
so
was
Juneteenth.
A proclamation that was sent down from Lincoln. However, many captive, enslaved human beings never knew about it. Hundreds, maybe thousands.
So basically, Juneteenth is the day that it was officially announced in the last state that didn't know that slaves were free, which was Texas. It was in Texas on June 19th, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation,
exactly,
that there was an official decree that said slaves were free. But even after that, it was not de facto.
The previous owners of those human beings did not free them. Yes.
So is Juneteenth is it a national holiday, or is it just a holiday that is commemorated by blacks alone?
Well, many people all across the world celebrate Juneteenth because, you know, we've traveled and, you know, we have alliances with people all across the globe. However, Emancipation Day was a celebration on New Year's Eve, even before the Civil War was fought, because there were some free people who had been born via indentureships, you know. So they were celebrating their freedom in celebration of the new year. But Juneteenth was the date, June 19th, and that's the holiday that will probably become chronicled as a sanctioned holiday at this very interesting
right.
time, you see.
Right,
but,
and it seems that, you know, it is the commemoration of the end of slavery in the United States, and it is celebrated by Black Americans. It will be celebrated this Friday, and it's going to be a tough one because it's going to be celebrating right at a time when we've got the protests and the sweeping demonstrations that have been precipitated by the killing of George Floyd. So it is important that we understand why blacks celebrate Juneteenth, because those of us who don't understand the disconnect in history from the Emancipation Proclamation to Juneteenth may not understand why blacks consider this as important as they do. And that is why I felt it was really important that we had this courageous conversation at this time. And I'm so grateful to Kayla Padgett for allowing us to have this special edition on
her.
Yes. Yes. As we talk about Juneteenth, you know, we talk about the fact that there were minimal Union troops in Texas to even enforce it. And so it's called a combination of June and 19th, and that's where we get Juneteenth. Is
yes,
that correct?
That's true. Yes.
And I guess how is it celebrated?
Well, people celebrate the arts, quilting. Even the younger generations in past years would have concerts and all across the world now, but it's celebrated in the churches because I believe, I know without any doubt, that my captive ancestors would have not made it through 400 plus years of chattel slavery had it not been for a conducive, collaborative faith base. So the church really were the first, you know, supporters of the Juneteenth celebration, you see. And it was not only for the African descent captive, but also many of the indigenous people from the various tribes that had walked the Trail of Tears. They had commingled and married and had children. And so, especially in Texas, it was a multicultural sort of celebration. And it spread as people took mass migrations north or west, and the spirit of that oneness came full circle per capita in the United States. However, united is the operative word, because by the time the 19th century was winding down, many people of African and indigenous ancestry thought it rather non-patriotic, because really that we are and should have been recognized as Americans like everyone else, the immigrants or whoever. However, it was about, in the late 50s, and a group of young ministers promoted it at some of the congregational gatherings, like at the Church of God in Christ and different congregational people who would have annual meetings. And it was a way by which we could not only give praise to the strong spirit of our ancestors, that we could think of our captivity as a very spirit-binding, spiritually uplifting oneness, you see.
Slave, yes, I do.
Is a powerful word. Captive,
yes,
is a powerful word.
Powerful role that ministers of God played in uniting the Black community and putting this forward, to have self-respect and to have dignity, and to also clarify a little bit about one's history. You and I both have been involved in programs such as Facing History in Ourselves, and I wanted you to touch a little bit about why it's important that we really learn the truth about history rather than live in the myths of the past. What would you say to a young person who says, why do I have to even know about history? What do I care? You know, I'm not a slave. There's no slavery now. At least that's what they would believe.
Well, yes, and that's a very powerful fact, the statement you just made. However, I know so many hundreds of people are so very proud of the ancestry that we are born in. Now, we have to look at this thing with clear vision. It was about the profit that was absorbed into this nation, because the captive human beings, they didn't get any wages.
Mm-hmm.
They lived poor housing. There was no opportunity for education or freedom before the Emancipation Proclamation. And so many of the captors to this day perpetuate that same spirit of order or disorder, you see. The schools that were finally open for newly, they were not on the same standard as they were for the white children or students, you know, from the elementary school level on through higher education forums, you see.
So inequity continues.
Pardon me?
And so the inequity continued, and for those who are, and many right now, the word white privilege is out there. People are talking about it, and some people are confused about it. But what we're really trying to say is that the inequity among blacks continued even long after the Emancipation Proclamation, long after Juneteenth, long after any of the policies, the 13th Amendment, and these inequities continue even today. And that's what the brunt
day,
is.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what's being felt, and that's what the protests are about. I did want to mention that anyone who wants to know a little bit about Juneteenth, Isha has mentioned that this was put together by black ministers that felt that it was important that this time of history be remembered. It is a wonderful celebration. People are going to be having all kinds of picnics, parties, foods, rallies. I don't know how it is with COVID, but in the past, there have always been amazing ways to celebrate Juneteenth, and you can learn more about it at www.juneteenth.org. Now, I had mentioned that young people today may think that slavery was a thing of the past, but I'm here to tell you something that our CEO, Kayla Padgett, has been very concerned about, because she has many, many radio stations around the world, and she is extremely aware of this particular fact. 1 in 200 people today, right now, are slaves.
Mm-hmm.
We think that this is something that was just a carryover from the Civil War. We think that this is something that, you know, Lincoln ended. It's all very, it all sounds very clean, but in reality, slavery right now is on the rise. We have approximately more than 40.3 million or more victims of slavery. And
globally.
71%, globally. Yes, globally, and 71% of all modern slavery right now are women and children.
Exactly. So.
So when we talk about, you know, a Giroux's footsteps into history, and we talk about faith and resilience, you know, what is the message of hope that we can give the world when we find out that slavery is still alive today? I mean, how can we learn the lessons of the past and try to improve upon the future? What would you say to a young person who says slavery is over and I don't have to think about those things?
Well, you know, there are different systems of slavery, obviously. You know, a chain, chattel slavery, the image of that is the big chain on your head or some sort of mantle that will keep you 6 feet apart from the slave behind you as you've been loaded into a wagon or having to walk. Now, it has to do with your intellect and your mind. You see, if you make a man a slave, after a certain time, you don't have to put a ball or a chain on him, because if you have his mind, you don't have to use a whip or anything, because he will acquiesce and do as you say. Now, one of the things that perpetuated slavery was the fact the captive Africans and indigenous people were not allowed to read, to learn, to teach, except things that would keep the plantation going, you see. So, slavery was an economic system of disorder, and it was not earmarked for anyone except for the profiteers of that, see. So, you look at to the here and now. There are all types of slavery systems as we speak, and that's what the young people are marching and protesting relative to, even if they never heard of Willie Lynch, who gave the kits of how to perpetuate slavery by not
killing or maiming your product, your captive. You know, get their mind in order. Have them think lack so that they will not even dream of progress or freedom, you see. So Willie Lynch lives. He was a slave owner with holdings in the Bahamas, in one of the islands, and you see it was transcontinental. And he came up to Virginia and he saw bodies hanging from trees, and he said, I on my way here to meet with you gentlemen, I could smell the stench of rotting flesh. You are wasting money. If you have to kill them and maim them, they cannot produce for you. So he gave them different things to keep them on the same track.
Please, and that's the way it is. And that's the way it is in modern slavery, both on the mind and of the body. So much of this big business, I mean, globally, slavery now is generating billions, $150 billion in profits a day. A lot of it is mostly in developing countries. According to one of these slavery experts, Siddharth Kara, modern slave traders now earn up to 30 times more than their 18th and 19th century counterparts would have done. So, we're finding out that, you know, some of it is sexual trafficking. A lot of people don't understand that even in the United States, sexual trafficking is a form of slavery.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. But it is profitable, and I really like how you say that it's a kind of a locking of the brain and of the mind. And education frees us. So the faith, when we talk about the stories of faith, and I was hoping that you would share to us maybe one happy story of what it feels like to connect to the past, whether it's the story of understanding what a griot has given to us in the idea of genealogy. But I want us to have a story of faith, a story of hope, and a story of resilience that we can hang on to, a story that will tell us we must learn from the lessons of the past. I know you're a POTUS. I don't know if you have anything written for today, but I'd like you to give us, if it's possible, in your amazing way, a story of hope.
Hope everlasting, love everlasting, joy everlasting. The griot, the preserver of the dream, the prognosticator of the hope that is deserving of all human beings. I remember as a young child, there was an educator who taught us to not only memorize the verses in the Bible. I must have been in about third grade, and she gave this to us. We must have faith in each other. We must have faith in ourselves. We must be real sisters and brothers. We don't have time to waste our precious time for anybody else. You must build a new world for the children. You must teach the children how to live and how to learn and how to know who and what they deserve and what they are. We have the power. We have the will to determine just where we're going and exactly how far. We must have faith in each other. We must have faith in ourselves. We must be real sisters and brothers. We don't have time to waste our precious time like anybody else. Now, if you teach that to a child in the first grade, in kindergarten, in the fifth grade, and if it's modeled in their community that they can succeed, it has very little to do with the color of one's skin. It has to do with the faith that they are born into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to say, I got scabs on my knees. But it's not because I'm bending down low, picking cotton and chopping cotton. He said, it's because I'm down on my knees praising the good Lord. Mm. My grandmother was the daughter of a slave. My great-grandfather was born in 1850. He was sold out of the Atlanta area. I can't find great-great-grandmother. My papa, he was Blackfoot Indian, and he was a man of business. And he had the general store by the time the freedom came on the sharecropping plantation. But he was raised to know himself. He had faith in himself. He didn't have to stoop low because of anybody's designation, you see. Mm-hmm. And there were many more. He never made the history book. But those of us who share his blood, we know. The church he founded donated 9 acres of land down in near Kosciuszko, Mississippi. It stands to this day, and his bones are interred in that ground. So we must make holy pilgrimages to sacred spaces. I encourage the young people all the time, know from whence you come. Study your Bibles. Most elders write down genealogy in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Cherish not only for the written word, but also for what the owners of the Bible chronicle death and birth. That's a priceless book, huh?
Yes, beautiful.
So,
beautiful.
And during this time, during Juneteenth,
yes.
People do genealogy, you know, we do the honey. We do the whole thing, you know. We have hip-hop, too, or whatever. But it's a positive message that if people would come together and agree, there are no limits. Come on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's on that note.
Education.
That
education was kept from my ancestors. But I was just reading a viewing a podcast of Sister Alice Walker, bless her heart. You know, they were sharecroppers until the time she went to Spelman College. They lived in 14 different shareholding plantations from the 20s on up to when she went to college in the 60s. But her dad and their church built a school on the church property. And before even the school year was ended, the Ku Klux Klan burnt it down. Do you know what they did?
They built it back up again.
Yes, ma'am, you know. That's what real people do.
Yes.
And they didn't burn it down anymore. He said, I was quoting her dad, said, they'll have to burn it down again because we've got to build it back up each time. You cannot get discouraged because of someone else's definition of power.
Amen.
See? Uh-huh. So the deal is, you know, right, I was almost junior high school before I knew the history of some of those freedom fighters from, you know, black men walking to liberate the slaves in England even before our Emancipation Proclamation. Aliardo Aquiano, he was stolen at 10 years old. He went to the Caribbean islands. He was so small, but he was intelligent. They put him up in the South Carolina area where the Geechee people are to this day. And he learned how to be a tradesman. He knew how to buy and sell. And baby, he ended up rather like a nobleman. He married a British woman, and they had about 3 children.
Yes.
And Equiano, he was
a major influence to Wilberforce and all of the movement of the abolitionists.
Yes, Wilberforce, he was a colleague of Wilberforce, and the gentleman that was on that slave ship that wrote Amazing Grace. I'm telling you, they pulled together in their way. They touched and agreed. When there is agreement, you can just wait on the wonderful prize. There will be success if people can agree. Not always easy. Some people die, but many of them live.
Yes. Well, Isha, I
and
can't thank you.
And freedom in England impacted Lincoln's mindset.
Yes.
And those other people But, you know, some people don't know. But genealogy research, it's chronicled. Abraham Lincoln's mother was mixed race.
Mm.
She was the product of an indentured servant, an African, and somebody from England or somewhere. So, you know, Abraham Lincoln didn't say, well, we got to free the slaves because I got a little drop of black blood in my body. But maybe he thought about Mama Nancy.
Yes.
Hmm.
You know, we have so much to talk about, and it's so, so terrible to say that we're running out of time. But I want to thank you. I'm going to thank you because storytelling and understanding history and learning about ourselves, and more than anything, the message that you have given to us about black churches, about black ministers, about the power of faith, about the power of understanding that we can be brothers and sisters, and that slavery is not only confined to skin, but also to the slavery of the mind, and
that's
that education is one of
the
greatest freedoms. I want to thank you for reiterating these points. We have 1 minute left, and I wanted to ask you to close this with a short prayer that we may have peace in our country, and that we may learn from these lessons of history. And we'll end our radio show with your prayer, Isha, if it's all right
with
you.
I thank you. Giving honor to God, who is the ruler of all the world, we thank you, Lord, for being a blessing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for giving young Kayla a vision to connect people globally. I give honor to the ancestors who lived in ways that would give us the freedom and the strength to come together with our differences, making for strength for the children, for the elders, for the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Isha, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for teaching us about our history, and we love you. We appreciate your telling us a little bit about Juneteenth, and we hope that we can have you on again so that we can all learn.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Anytime. And I'm so proud of the work that you and Kayla are doing. I am so thrilled to be a part of y'all's ministry through this global connection. It's a blessing. But please know.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And thank you to our listeners from all over the world.
Love you.
Choose love. And that's our message on the Deborah Norwood Show with our special guest, Isha Eccles. Thank you for listening.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.